Brady's in our Touch Points Rehab interview chair. State Senator Joe Markley, Republican from Southington. And Senator, good morning. Welcome to Brad and Dan.
Yeah, pleasure to be with you, gentlemen.
Great to have you here. Now, what is this you've been doing with your friend, Mr. Sampson?
Well, I suppose you could say we've been trying to stay out of trouble, but maybe what I should say is we've been trying to fight something that I think needs fighting, which is the State Elections Enforcement Commission put out an opinion way back in 2014, just before the gubernatorial election, saying that candidates for the state legislature couldn't mention Governor Malloy in their campaign materials. Couldn't say don't vote for him or anything like that, but couldn't even mention his name. And Rob and I both thought that this was just ridiculous. And frankly, we went ahead and mentioned him. In fact, in my materials and everything I sent out, I mentioned him two times. I said I voted against Malloy's tax hikes. And in another piece, I said I voted against Malloy's lousy policies.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, well, what's wrong is they said, well, that was, you were aiding Tom Foley by doing that. Now, I didn't say, my pieces didn't mention Tom Foley. They didn't say, defeat Dan Malloy. None of that. I just said it in the context of what I did as a legislator. And I thought this is a curtailment of my ability to communicate with my constituents, to say where I stand. How can you be a legislator and not make reference to the governor of Connecticut, especially when he's ruining the state? And so a lot of legislators were cited, our legislative candidates were cited by elections enforcement, and they all ended up settling with them because elections enforcement kind of said, if you'll confess and say you were a bad boy, then we won't punish you. And Rob and I are the only two left because we said... They said, finally, they said, look, all you have to do is say you won't do it again. And I said, to say I won't do it again is to say that I think I did something wrong. I don't think I did anything wrong. And I felt like if we let them get away with it, that will be the rule from now on. So this Thursday, we're going to have our day, not quite in court, but at a hearing that the Elections Enforcement Commission is putting on, and we'll make our case against this ridiculous rule.
That sounds like a joke.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, Brad, this is often a lot of what I have to tell you about when I call in sounds like a joke when you get down to it. You say, what are they thinking? And I know these guys. I know the man that's the head of the commission. I actually like him quite well. I think he's a decent guy. But they don't want to they've decided we can't have people, you know, putting out pieces that attack Malloy to benefit Foley, to go overboard. So we're going to make the rule all the way the other way and say you can't even say his name at all. I said to them, I don't know that saying that I voted against his tax hikes is even critical of Malloy. Obviously, a lot of people liked his tax hikes. The majority of the legislators voted for them. It's just ridiculous. And at a certain point, I feel like you got to stand up to ridiculous things.
Well, Senator, is part of this the result that you took campaign funds from the Citizens Election Fund? Is that the reason?
That is an excellent question, and they would say so, and some of the press covering this has said so. But the fact is that the statute that they refer to has nothing to do with the state, with taking the public funding. It applies equally whether you take the public funding or you're funded privately.
Huh.
So it's not like there's some different agreement that you make when you take the public funds. But it has made them, I think that, to tell you the truth, I think that the Democrats are rather perturbed by the fact that Republicans take public funding and then use it to try to actually win elections and criticize.
I love it.
Yeah, but so there should be no reason that the public funding makes a difference, in my opinion. But that's certainly one of the things we're going to argue about on Thursday.
Well, this is, I mean, it's so obvious that it's an infringement on free speech that to think because you're making this criticism somehow it's going to aid Tom Foley. You were going to be against the tax hikes if Tom Foley proposed them and he was governor, I would imagine.
Hey. Bingo. Good point. Good point. That's right. And that's why I can say there could be an egregious example. I can imagine a situation where I'd say, yes, that's right. You've taken money saying that you're going to use it for your own election, but you've really used it on someone else's campaign. But this is nothing like that. Neither. In fact, the funny thing is that Rob Sampson used exactly the same language in 2012 as he did in 2014. And they said, well, it was legal in 2012 because Malloy wasn't on the ballot. But in 2014, you were doing it to help Foley. And, of course, his argument is, why would I, if I were doing it to help Foley, why was I saying it in 2012? He wasn't on the ballot either. It's nonsensical. And I think that I'm happy to have a chance to stand up and fight this one.
Now, Senator, tell us what you will do now, what they will do. What do they have to do to excuse you?
Well, I don't think they're going to excuse me. I think that some of them are a little uncomfortable with their case, but I think they'll go ahead with it. They'll have a hearing. The members of the commission, I think it's seven people, will sit there, and the staff attorney will give a long, long recitation of all the sins I've committed. And then Samson and I will have our chance to argue our case back. In fact, we're meeting up on Tuesday to go over our points. And then the commission, I assume, it'll adjourn, and the commission will go off and at some point render their decision. And if they decide against us, and whether we're fined or anything else, if they say that what we did was wrong, we will take it to court and continue to fight it there. And the courts obviously protect speech to a ridiculous extent, and especially political speech. So how they can say, well, you can burn an American flag because that's political speech, but you can't say I'm against Malloy's tax hikes. I got a feeling that if it goes to court, we'll win.
Brad, he's in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair. So, Senator Markley, if in fact the commission rules against you, you and Representative Sampson are ready to go to court to challenge a ruling if it's against you. Is that correct?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
On the basis, obviously, of free speech.
Yes, we have a lawyer, fortunately, that will help us from the legislative side. And, I don't know, not being a lawyer myself, exactly what the grounds for appeal would be in this case. But, we'll appeal it because we think that, if they rule against it, it stinks. So, that may not be exactly the grounds that are cited. But it's absurd on the face of it, and I think that even the people bringing it against us kind of know that it's absurd. They just feel like they're duty-bound to defend this ridiculous line that they've chosen.
Senator Markley, just sitting here listening to you, I'm thinking to myself, with everything that is going on, not only in the state today, but in the world today, you mean that we have to waste time sitting down, getting lawyers, going all through this when we've got other things to do that are much more important? I mean, you haven't done anything illegal. You mentioned a guy's name. So what?
Well, you know what I thought was ridiculous? Samson and I said, we want to have a hearing on this. Let's get it over with, because obviously it goes all the way back to the 2014 election. And I don't blame them completely. They have a lot of business to conduct. And we had some discussions. If they had said to me, look, we're ready to drop the whole thing, I would have said, okay, that's fine. You don't have to apologize. Just drop it. But they weren't willing to do that. And I wasn't willing to confess to anything. So I said, let's have the hearing. Let's get this settled. Well, what would they do? They actually send out sheriffs over the weekend to subpoena, Rob Sampson and I. And I thought, now they're paying a couple $100 each to have these papers served on the people who themselves are the ones asking to have the hearing. Of course we're going to show up. And if we didn't show up, it's our loss not to be there to defend ourselves. It's not like we have to be there. They could just have the hearing without us and rule against us. I thought, what a ridiculous waste of taxpayer money to send these sheriffs off to serve these.
So now wait just a minute here. This is just so fascinating to me. You know, you've got this hearing on Thursday. You and Representative Sampson intend to show up at this meeting. In fact, you made it a big point last week you were going to show up this meeting, and now you're saying you got subpoenaed over the weekend?
Then we got subpoenaed over the weekend to show up at the meeting. We're anxious enough to show up on the meeting that we're going on the radio to talk about the meeting, right?
Unbelievable.
This is unbelievable. It really is. Wow. My goodness.
Yeah, well, this is, hey, that's the fight I want. You know, I feel like there's so many things that need to be fought in this state. Let me take the ones that are really ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because it's so, to my mind, the facts of this case are so lopsided in my favor, that I can't even get nervous about it. You know, it's, I can't wait to go in there and make this argument.
But you know something?
Or no subpoena.
but you know, this is the reason. You know, when people wonder, and Dan and I are out all the time, we hear it. But this is the reason that people just don't like government. They just absolutely can't understand it when they're being charged so much on taxes, when they're being charged so much for this, and this drives them crazy.
You know, and I suppose it discourages people in a way, too, because the other legislators that were faced with this, I don't blame them at a certain point. You say, gee, actually, you know, they come out and they say, well, we can fine you $2,000 or $4,000 or whatever. And you say, what do I need this grief for? And, you know, there's a lot of that in politics, I guess. There's things that can just get you down because you're dealing with so many bureaucrats that you feel are just sometimes going out of their way to make life difficult for you. And it is, then people say, I've had enough of it, I'm not running again, that kind of thing.
Does this somewhat, I don't want to use the word annoy, but maybe puzzle you, Senator, that we saw this same commission essentially give the governor's campaign a slap on the wrist when they did an enormous end-around enabling contractors to advertise in the gubernatorial campaign, which was a total violation of campaign funding. They essentially gave the governor and the Democrats a slap on the wrist, and now they're coming after you with both barrels. Do you find this interesting?
Well, I suppose I don't like to question people's motives particularly. I try to deal with the facts on the ground and not worry about where they're coming from. I think sometimes these commissions are a little cozy with the Democrats, and obviously people are appointed to them that have a political background, so it's not like they're neutrals. They may be retired former activists, but they still have the beliefs they have. I did think it was interesting. This ruling came out in October of 2014. Ruling, it was an advisory opinion saying our reading of the statute says you shouldn't mention the governor. And it came out one day after a letter came from the state Democratic Party saying, gee, we think there may be a problem if people mention the governor. And I thought it was awful quick as a decision. I mean, this hearing has been droning on for 3 years, but that advisory opinion came out in one day. And it seemed awfully responsive to what the Democrats were looking for at that moment. But I don't know. I tend to feel that people are fair-minded, and I'm willing to fight it out like it's fair. And we'll see what happens on Thursday.
How much money? How much money in a three-year period do you think was shuffled around?
Well, on my side, zero. That's the one thing I know. What it's cost the state to look into it, I don't know. Of course, they have these people on staff already. And sometimes you do feel they, you know, I don't envy this commission. They have a lot of campaigns to oversee during campaign season. And then all of a sudden, it's not campaign season anymore. And what do? And they spend an awful lot of time auditing campaigns. And you, when you get the questions from them, you know, where did this check come from? Or where's this address? And you think this is all trivia. But I think sometimes during the off season, they really don't have anything better to do anyways.
When are we going to get a budget?
Hey, I'll give you a prediction.
October.
I think it's going to happen this September 14th is the day that they're talking about bringing the House back in. once they line the Democrats up for that labor contract extension, which I didn't think they were going to be able to do, frankly, I thought, okay, if they can get them in line for that, they can get them in line for a budget. And you hear the outlines of a budget buzzing around, a substantial increase in the sales tax, this restaurant tax they want to initiate. And I suspect they can get the votes. You know, these moderates in the Senate, moderate Democratic senators, said, we're only voting for the union contract because we've got a commitment that these 12 items that are important to us are going to be included in the budget. If those 12 items are included in the budget, how do those people vote against it? So I think in a way they've got the votes lined up, and my guess would be we have the budget at this middle of the month and that it's a bad one.
Yeah. But how do you pass a budget if it doesn't include these tax hikes and then keep property taxes down? Is there a budget out there that does that?
Now, the Republican budgets, you know, this is the big lie that comes from the other side, is essentially we have to do it. We have to raise state taxes. We have to cut aid to municipalities. Republicans have put out multiple budgets, vetted budgets that have been passed through the Office of Fiscal Analysis, which don't raise taxes and don't make cuts to municipal aid, and that maintain the social safety net. I think these have been brilliant budgets. They're not pretty, but under the circumstances, they are far and away the best we can do. And I just don't understand why the Democrats can't look at what we've offered and use that at least as a starting point. Look at our budget and come back to us and say, look, here's our problem with it. But if their problem is it doesn't raise taxes, and I think with some of them that is the problem, then there's no middle ground, because we can't keep raising taxes. We've got to stop. And I think that there's a certain number of people in the Democratic Party that look at every budget deficit as an opportunity to raise taxes again.
Senator, always a pleasure. Thanks for spending time with us this morning.
Well, it's terrific. I love talking with you guys. And we'll maybe report back after this thing is over.
Please keep us updated.
Please.
Okay.